जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरतिशे नमः। गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालयै कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तदभक्ताय नमः। तवैवास्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना इति विज्ञाय राधे तं नयामि शरणान्तिके। My millions of dandavat pranam in the lotus feet of my Paramaradhyatam Nitya Leela Pravishthaṁ Vishnupāda Śrīmad Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, and same millions of dandavat pranati in the lotus feet of my Siksha Guru Nitya Leela Pravishthaṁ Vishnupāda Śrīmad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj. Here our class is fourth day, fifth day. Everything is going on, Hari Katha, powerful. Today, in our program, Shripad Kirtanananda Prabhu has come, and fortunately today, Paramadvaiti Maharaj has also come. So our festival is so successful. I will request first Kirtananda Prabhu to speak two words, and then Vishnavidyavet Maharaj will speak. We wanted to hear some instructions.
Again, chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Then I am requesting Shripad Bhakt Vishnudeva
Paramadvaiti
Maharaj to speak something.
Krishna is happy to नमस्ते सरस्वती गुरु शांति निर्विशेष संस्कार से पूजा करें श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य मंत्र श्री अद्वैत शिव सभी गौर करें शक्ति Thank you very much for allowing me to be here today. Shri Maharaj invited me to come and address the name of the as actually the secretary asked me to say some words about the Vishwa Vaishnava Rajshala and what service we are trying to offer to the Vaishnava community through this Shama. And I was very lucky to come here for the purpose and to hear from Srila Maharaj and all the assembled Vaishnavas to get their association, the great inspiration. Easy to address an assembly of dedicated Vaishnavas. One feels shy, ashamed, or cannot offer any tangible, elevating words to the devotees. But of course, simply to remember the great souls is always my only solace. So today, as we are here in the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in the spirit of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas, that very spirit which we have noticed to manifest wherever wonderful devotees try to transmit the nectar of their Gurudev to others, that we feel very comfortable. I want to specifically, we always say Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadam Padaya Shiva Bhaktivedanta Swami Sinamani, offer our obeisances to our Diksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. But we are made up by the mercy of so many Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada entered this Nitya Lila such a long, long time ago. And in a somewhat hopeless stage, after the departure of our Guru Deva, we met many other senior Vaishnavas. As a matter of fact, the other day I was remembering that I visited Srila Narayana in 1984. After we had just decided that we had to continue our spiritual life with more autonomy and more execution of our own criteria rather than to go on in an atmosphere where Vaishnava apparat had become rampant and there was no juice, there was no ras, there was no nectar in those days. The offices were all the temple offices were places like my godbrother just said, where only politics were being discussed. I wanted to leave it and was wondering, what am I doing here? So, I think some of you may have shared these moments also. So, then I went to Mathura and I met Srila Narayana Maharaj and I said, you know, I just left and I'm now on my own. And what recommendation do you have for me? You want to help me? At that time he said, you better go to see Srila Srila Maharaj. So, of course, that recommendation was very welcome to me by me because I had read Sri Guru and His Grace. this book, this historical book, which came from the talks of Srila Bhakti Lakshmi Goswami Maharaj, which I think changed the way of seeing Vaishnavism, Vaishnava transcendental teachings, for many of us, at least for me, it changed my life and my view on many things. I eternally indebted to Acharya Rishi Prabhu, who gave me this book when I didn't expect it. And so I was able to meet Srila Bhaktivinoda Bhakshina Maharaj, and I would offer my humble obeisances to the sweetness of every word I was able to receive from him, to give us strength to warn and some other, to take up a responsibility which we didn't feel and all capable of carrying out. But the question was there, who was going to go and do that job of preaching? And the first instruction I received from Srila Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada was, the money is more important than the Bhagavad. You are out far from me, but you're preaching. That is the most dear to me, so don't try to become my personal secretary without your preaching. So, because I had in mind that maybe I could also be close to him, you know, like every disciple desires to be the secretary and give guru a massage and all this, you know. I mean, the first thing he said, you go and preach and you do that for the rest of your life. So somehow that's what was our lifeline, what we cling on to. And so Srila Bhakti Rakachira Maharaj, he encouraged us so much, he gave us so much, he gave us so much freedom, so much love, so much trust. Again, the same love and trust that Srila Prabhupada had already given to us, because without it you can't go out and do anything. So that was wonderful. I just wanted to give this thanks to even Srila Bhaktivinoda Maharaj. He didn't like it at all. If you would say thank you, he would smash you. All you mean, thank you, and then you go away. No. This is a commitment. If you got anything and you feel that you got, then you're committed. And you stay here and you serve for the rest of your life. So, thank you was not appreciated. I'm not saying thank you. I'm saying I'm committed. I want to go on, and I pray to get the mercy of great Vaishnavas so that I can achieve sincerity in devotional service. And then, once again, Srila Prabhupada left the world in 1977, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kachira Maharaj left the world in 1988. And again we became a rose, and again we said, now is this going to go on now? And what's the next? So, in that difficult moment, another beautiful Vaishnava appeared on the horizon in a very wonderful way, in an extraordinary humble way. Srila Bhakti Prabhupada Goswami Maharaj, he showed us how wonderful it is to serve the Vaishnavas, and so many things he showed us. To us, and he received us with his open arms, with his embrace, and reminding us of all the details of Vaishnava life. For example, Srila, I share this with you, it's not very philosophical, but to me it means a lot. Srila Bhakti Prabhupada Maharaj used to have a little box, and in that box he had dust of every holy place and a few bottles with a little water from all the holy places, and of course a little, everything was there. The whole town was there. And if you watched him, he was making parikrama with his little box. And to each dust, when he ate a little, and a prayer to Vrindavan, a prayer to Puri, a prayer to Haridasaka Samadhi, a prayer, it was everything. And he was so entertained during that. It was so sweet, so wonderful to see how everything was so important to him. Things which you may brush over easily. Just like associations with devotees can become so significant if we avoid to minimize them, ever, or any one of them. So, I saw that it manifested in his personality. He would love everybody. He wouldn't minimize me. He was emphasizing education. It was saying very important. We are all one. We all have the same chance. By the mercy of the holy name, he said, it doesn't matter if you're born in the west or the east, we have all the same chance, the same duties to follow and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And we have to make very careful, make efforts that the new generations will be well educated in the science of Krishna consciousness. I mean, he was a publisher, he was working in the Golden Mass Publication Department, and he was the person who was installing practically all the deities in the Golden Mass. They were installed by him. He was like the expert on this rituals and all these wonderful things. And we were so lucky. And while I was at Vishnu Shinamata and while I was at Vishnu Purma, no doubt I met so many other Vaishnavas, Shinamata, and I much came regularly visiting there. And so it was a sweet meeting of all the Vaishnavas. And that sweet meeting is an ongoing affair. That is, to me, that is the spirit of Vishnu Vaishnava Rashtava. And of course, then we go home and we work hard. It's not only that all day we meet and have nice talks. It's also nice, but we all have to go and do so many things to develop and organize whatever Gurudev has given us as an assignment so we can have a substantial presentation of Krishna consciousness. But personally, to my own heart's feeling, it is such an important thing that we do things in such a way that the general public will recognize the Vaishnavas as the lovers of God and the servants of humanity and the servants of truth. I personally feel that was how my Gurudev came for. And, I mean, of course he wanted to give pure love to Krishna and his disciples as a topmost priority, but he wanted the whole world to be Krishna conscious. He wanted everybody to have a respect. And whenever we, as his disciples, did something which caused the opposite, that the people in the world were not so impressed by the devotees, then that would upset him. He didn't like that at all. He made many times. One time he was approached by Jitrai Maharaj, what is the secret of book distribution? How can we distribute more of these transcendental literature to the people? And he made very clear that he didn't mean his interest was not in numbers of distribution. His interest was in the people would really, really be captured, captivated in the heart by the devotees' presentation. And that they want that nowadays, even book distribution is not so substantially important as in those days, because people can get all the Vaishnava books practically for free on the internet. They can note down the entire Bhagavatam, which at that time was a dream. We were enthused as Ramacharis, go out and make sure every house has a book of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was our driving force to go out from morning to the night, winter and summer, to go door to doors in the shopping malls and giving the people the book and begging them to give a donation. Like we were beggars. But loving beggars, because we love, we only begged them for their own benefit. We didn't need anything from them. We didn't want to avoid working. So this spirit of compassion, generosity, association of devotees, this love, and when you meet other devotees and you feel just even more encouraged, like, who could not be encouraged seeing such a wonderful amount of devotees if you're the chanting dance? It's not possible. So, in this way, I'm also grateful that somehow it never stops. And then there'll be another Vaishnava and another Vaishnava and another Vaishnava. And I hope, I pray that when I have to give up this body, there'll be Vaishnavas. And then think of Krishna. Don't forget Prabhupada. Do something that's wrong. That is my prayer. And I'm so thankful. I'm very impressed for Srila Rai Maharaj sacrificing himself, his health, so much to be with all of us. This is a very strong example. Because it's not easy, not only to travel and preach, but to tolerate all the headaches which come from the conditioned souls some amazing tolerance has to be there, amazing love, and we pray to get this love so we can serve our Guru there also. Thank you very much for your Sangha, for your association. Hare Krishna.
Now, we are coming to our Bhagavad classes. Yesterday I told that Mother Yashoda wanted to give fish and sweet butter to Krishna so that he should not go and what is still butter from anywhere. So, now she was churning yogurt and singing, being absorbed in Krishna's sweet pastimes. Govinda Dhamo Dharma Dhareji, Govinda Dhamo Dharma Dhareji. Krishna was sleeping in the morning in Brahma Muhurta. He heard this song. He naturally that anywhere, any devotee can sing. Being observed, he cannot stay there. So he wanted to come. He saw here and there, oh, where is mother? I'm hungry. I want to take her breast milk, but he could not find. He began to weep very loudly. Mother will hear and then will come. But she was totally absorbed in singing. So Krishna began to try come from bed. But he can jump from the sky to ocean in Sukha robe.
In boar incarnation.
He can jump from there. But he cannot come down from the bed. Anyhow,
the help of stomach.
He can fight with Hiranyakashipu and others. But he cannot. He can take Govardhana on his finger. But now he cannot
come down from this.
Anyhow, by difficulty, he came down. Crying more. But Yashoda mother was not hearing. Then what became afterward?
Om Jyotirantasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurum Vitapnein Tasmai Shri Tureyam. So this very beautiful and well-known pastime of Sri Krishna, Yasodanandam Krishna in Vrindavan, Srila Gurudev is beginning to set the scene for this beautiful pastime. As he told, Sri Krishna at that age was very tiny. And it was very difficult for him to even slide down from the bed. He had to slide down on his belly, coming down on his little legs, and coming down to the floor. And when he came down to the floor, just like a little child is looking for his mother when he has woken up, so Krishna, he was rubbing his eyes, and tears were coming from his eyes. And the kajal that Mother Yashoda puts, the eyeliner, blackish eyeliner around Krishna's little lotus eyes, Oh, it was becoming rubbed all over his cheeks by his hands, and his chest, his beautiful lotus chest, had these teardrops coming on them. And in this way, little Krishna began to walk, looking for his mother. Then he came into the room where his mother was stirring the pot of milk on the stove. Because as we heard yesterday, Srila Gurudev explained that Mother Yashoda was concerned about these reports that she was receiving from the elderly gopis in Braj, that, oh, Krishna is such a butter thief and yogurt thief, and he is coming to their houses and stealing. So Mother Yashoda, although she didn't fully believe this, but nevertheless she thought, oh, if he is going to some other houses, why he should do this? I will make very, very special yogurts. And as Gurudev described yesterday, she went and personally milked the cow. She brought this milk, brought it to the stove, and began to boil this milk so that she could prepare and make it into yogurt. And from that yogurt, she would make very beautiful butter, very sweet butter. And then with this, she would serve Krishna and satisfy Krishna. So now Mother Yashoda, who was stirring this pot of milk on the fire, suddenly little Krishna came up to her and he began to pull on her sari, indicating that he wanted to suck her breast milk. So Mother Yashoda, she left the pot there and she brought Krishna onto her lap. And she sat brought Krishna next to her breast and began to feed him her breast milk. She covered her the head of Krishna with her sari, and she began to gaze upon the beautiful face of her child, so sweet, so wonderful, and so satisfied to be there on his mother's lap. But suddenly, at the same time that Mother Yashoda was breastfeeding Krishna, suddenly she noticed that the milk on the stove, it was starting to boil up and starting to come over the pot into the fire. So our acharyas have explained what was happening. This milk, also in Braja, all the objects in Braja are transcendental servants of Krishna. And this milk was also thinking that, oh, how will I ever have a chance to serve Krishna? Because here I'm seeing that Mother Yashoda, she's serving her breast milk to Krishna. And Mother Yashoda's capacity of giving breast milk to Krishna is like a vast, unlimited ocean. And Krishna's desire to drink that milk is also unlimited. He has such an unlimited capacity to consume that milk. So then how will I have a chance to serve Krishna? And at this point, the milk decided, then I will simply give up my life. I will commit suicide into the fire. And the milk began to boil over into the fire. So Mother Yashoda, she's noticing this, and Mother Yashoda also, she has compassion for all, and she wants to see that all will have the opportunity to serve her beloved Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, very quickly, she put Krishna down, and she ran quickly to the fire, and now she was looking after the milk. But Krishna, at that moment, that he was suddenly put down by his mother onto the floor, he became upset. And he felt, oh, my mother is neglecting me like this. And just like a stubborn child and pouting, Krishna thought, oh, well then, if she is doing this to me, then I will have to go and make some mischief. So Krishna went into the room where Mother Yashoda keeps the yogurt pots. In India, when they make yogurt, they also put them into clay pots, and they hang them sometimes from the ceiling, and some of them are on the floor. So when Krishna came into the yogurt pot room, oh, then he saw one pot of yogurt on the floor, and he took one pestle, where you have a grinding mortar and pestle, and he took this heavy object, and he hit the pot, breaking the pot. At that moment, the white, beautiful yogurt began to flow out from the pot, all over the floor like a stream. And Krishna was observing how beautiful this was. Then Krishna, he began to take this yogurt, and there were also some monkeys nearby. Krishna was also feeding some of the monkeys, and his little lotus feet were walking in this puddle of yogurts and making little footprints all over the room like this. So, in this way, Krishna was very satisfied and happy. But Mother Yashoda, now when she took care of the pots, she suddenly came back and she found that Krishna was gone. So now, she began to search. Where is little Krishna? And she went over to where that room was, and inside of the entryway of the room, she saw these little footprints of Krishna's in front of the yogurts. And she thought, aha, so he is here. Now Mother Yashoda began to think, what is this? All these reports from the neighborhood elderly gopis, they have some truth in them. Perhaps my son is such a yogurt and butter thief. So then, from a distance, very carefully, like a cat, Mother Yashoda was creeping up very quietly. And she also picked up one stick nearby in her hand. And little Krishna was sitting there, and he was taking the yogurt, scooping it out of the pot, and enjoying this yogurt. And when he was busily absorbed in this way, suddenly the monkeys that were nearby, they gave some indication to Krishna. And he suddenly turned around, and then he saw Mother Yashoda there. And Mother Yashoda had a stick in her hand. So Krishna, very quickly, he got up from that place, and now he went running outside of the room. He dodged by Mother Yashoda, and he ran outside of the room. And now Mother Yashoda turned, and she began to run after Krishna with this stick in her hand. So Krishna was running. He ran outside of the house. He ran into the courtyard. And now, in the town of Raja Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda began to chase after Krishna. And all of the neighborhood gopis and the neighborhood people, they began to see this amazing sight. That little Krishna, with his tiny little legs, was running very fast. And Mother Yashoda is chasing after Krishna and trying to catch him with the stick in her hand. And Krishna is running, and he's going the zigzag way so that Mother Yashoda cannot catch Krishna. And she's trying and laboring very hard because Mother Yashoda was extremely beautiful and very shapely with large hips and breasts, and it was not so easy for her to run after Krishna. But Krishna was running in a zigzag way so he couldn't be caught. So as he was running, then he began to look back and he saw Mother Yashoda coming, and he was looking very frightened like this. But finally, from behind, Mother Yashoda finally ran up, and she caught Krishna. And now, Krishna was standing there, very afraid, and, no, Maya, Maya, like this. He was saying, no, Mother, please, don't beat me, don't beat me. And Mother Yashoda understood, oh, Krishna is very frightened that I have this stick in my hand. So then she put the stick down, and she said, oh, now I have understood that actually you are a butter thief. So I know that I must give you some kind of punishment, and I must detain you so that you cannot create any more mischief. And so those who were the accomplice in your task, this mortar and pestle, you were climbing on top of this mortar to try and get these yogurt pots. So now I will tie you to this grinding mortar, and this way you will be kept safely here. So Mother Yashoda was thinking of Krishna's protection, and she was thinking also that Krishna should get some kind of punishment so that he learns. So then in this way, Mother Yashoda decided, okay, now I'm going to try to tie Krishna to this grinding mortar. And she took some rope, and she tied it around the grinding mortar.
Thank you. Very good. Prem Prayojan Fair?
He has gone out.
He has gone? Not here? Then you try. Yashoda Ma is going to bind Krishna. Krishna is weeping. Is it bhakti to make weep Krishna?
Yes.
Go on. What is the definition of bhakti? And then tell Yashodama is going to bind him to chastise. Krishna is weeping. How it will be bhakti?
Srirupa Goswami has described Anyavilasita Sanyam Gyanakarmani Navakam Anakulena Krishna Nusiram Bhaktir Uttama. To keep very short, bhakti means to do that which is what is for the benefit of Krishna, not necessarily which will appear to make Krishna happily externally. For example, we gave the example on the first day. When Ravan was fighting with Ram, then Ram, he also is dear Guru, he likes to fight. So he's got great happiness in the battle with Ravan. So we cannot call this bhakti because Ravan was actually trying to kill Ram. In the same way, Mother Yashoda, even though she is threatening to meet Krishna, and Krishna is weeping, it's called Uttam Bhakti, of the topmost class. Why? Because Mother Yashoda is thinking, if I do not tie up my son, then his mind is so disturbed, maybe he'll run off into the forest and become lost. Or I should chastise my son and make him good. This is called Bhaktari Ras. Where Mother Yashoda has forgotten that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna has also forgotten that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both are dancing under the influence of Prema Bhakti, Yoga Maya. So this is a very high example of Prem. The pure devotee has bound Krishna with the rock of love. Therefore, Nayamshri Aki Bhagavan, Nayamgarichi Nababa, Nandashri,
Sriyopi
Sankhara, the Sari Levide, Gatse, Bandhava,
Draktatrapa Vimukhidada.
The mercy given to Mother Yashoda was not given even to Lakshmi, who always stays on the body of Krishna. What to speak of? Na Bhadinshi, Na Bhavo, no Lord Brahma, no Lord Shiva. Because only Mother Yashoda could tie Bhagavan, who gives mukti to everyone. And Krishna frees everyone from the bondage of material existence, that Mother Yashoda could bind that person who has no inside and no outside, the all-pervading Lord.
Thank you. Very good. Prem Priya, have you heard my question? That Yashoda Maa is going to bind Krishna. Krishna is weeping. She is chastising. Krishna was taking the breast milk of Yashoda. And Yashoda,
by force
told her, sit down. So powerful Krishna. Oh.
Become helpless.
And Yashoda Maa went, how this is? Is it this bhakti? And after that,
and Mother Yashoda going one hand, put him down. And Krishna was upset. Is it bhakti or not? So Srila Rupa Goswami has given the definition of bhakti. Ananya vilashita shunyam jnana madhyavritam anukulera krishnam shilam bhaktir uttama. The continuous, unbroken cultivation of all endeavors of the body, mind and words and of transcendental moods, which are meant exclusively for the benefit of Krishna, completely devoid of even the slightest smell of any other desire, and not covered by prana, jnana, yoga, etc. That is called uttama bhakti. So, if one will say that activities that give pleasure to Krishna are bhakti, then a defect will come in the definition. There are two types of defects that can befall a definition. One is called avyakti dosh, the other is called ativyakti dosh. Avyakti dosh means that the definition is too narrow to explain what bhakti is, because so the areas of bhakti which don't fit within the definition, so it's too narrow, avyakti. It does not cover everything which is included under bhakti. And ativyakti dosh means that the definition is overextended, the fault of overextension of the definition. In other words, it will include things which are not bhakti. So it will say that the activities which give happiness to Krishna, this is bhakti, then both defects will be there. Why? Because here, Madhya Shoda, she loves Krishna, but she's not getting happiness to him. He's crying, he's afraid, he's trying to run away, even. So Madhya Shoda's activity will not fit inside the definition of bhakti. Bhakti is just giving happiness to Krishna. So that would be the avyakti dosh. On the other hand, when Chandur and Musik, the wrestlers in the arena of Kamsa, were beating Krishna, oh, we like that. He was facing Varas, the heroic fighting mood, and he was happy. But they have no love for Krishna. So their activity is not bhakti. So if just giving happiness to Krishna was the definition of bhakti, then Chandra Musik will be doing bhakti. So this is not true. This will be the defect of ativyakti dosh, overextension of the definition. So what is bhakti? Bhakti is the Krishna anushilana, the cultivated activities in relation to Krishna, but those activities must be anukulyena. Anukulyena means sometimes the idea is given favorable, but more accurately, our Guru Acharyas, especially Srila Vishnu Sati Thakur, he has explained that anukulyena means pratikul bhav rahita, the absence of antagonism. So even though general devotees give happiness to Krishna, they are antagonistic to him. So they do not fall in the category of pure bhakti, anukulyena, Krishna Vishnu. And when they show that, though she makes Krishna become afraid, and he's crying, but she has no antagonism towards Krishna. Really, she loves him. And when she puts him down, why is she putting him down? For his benefits. For his not immediate happiness, but ultimate happiness, because Madhya Shoda is thinking, from my breast milk, I cannot make kheer and cheese, paneer, and so many other. I cannot make butter from the breast milk. And Krishna likes butter and all of these things very much. So Madhya Shoda put me down and went to save the milk so that she could give all these wonderful preparations to Krishna. Therefore, it is considered to be uttama bhakti.
After that, Yashoda Maya told them to bring
rope.
And she tried, but two angul. So, define what is two angul also.
So when Madhya Yashoda, she ran up to Krishna, quickly she caught him. Hey, who has broken the pot? Oh, you have done it, Mother, with your ankle gloves. With your bracelet and an ankle gloves. Who was feeding the monkeys? Who creates the monkeys? Feeds the monkeys. This was very... Oh, you're a thief. You're a chore. Krishna said, there's no chore in my dynasty. Well, because he heard his mother and father speaking, and in the dynasty of Madhya Shona, there was one person called Chore Gosh. There's no chore in my dynasty. Maybe there's a chore in your dynasty.
Okay. Merci, Lord. Oh, if I take the seat, then he will be very much afraid, and he will grow up to be maladjusted. So, she threw down the seat, but she said, I must punish him. Let me tie him with a rope. So she put him inside, and she thought Krishna was stealing water, but he had one accomplice. That was the grinding water. He was standing on the grinding water just all about that. So both of them are guilty, they should be punished by being tied together. So Lord Yashoda, she called for her sakis to bring some rope, and she took the rope and put it around Krishna. But when she came to tie it, it was two fingers too short. So she took the rope, tied it again, put it around, again, two fingers too short. She took all the ropes in the house, tied it together, again, two fingers too short. She told her friends, go to your house, bring some ropes from there. And he came, all the ropes in the whole of Braj, every rope was tied together. Again, two fingers too short. So she was really understanding. What is the meaning? What is the significance of two fingers too short? It means that Krishna can only be bound by praying. And in order to attain praying, our own endeavors will not be enough. We have to do sadhana, but sadhana will not be enough. We need kripa, Krishna's mercy. So Krishna's mercy will come. But if one will sit around all day waiting for it to come, also it will not come. So both things are required. Sadhana, our own practices, and in addition to that, kripa. These are two things whereby Krishna can be bound. So an example is given. Two types of logic. Marjanyan and Marakatanyan. Cat logic, kitten logic, sorry, and monkey logic. You know that the kitten is carried here and there by the mother. Kitten can see, and the mother takes the kitten in the mouth and carries it here and there. But the monkey, the baby monkey, has to hold on tight to the mother, and the mother will not do anything. She will not be completely free, and she will not do anything. The baby monkey will have to hold on very tight. And if you will drop off, and hold it like baby. Never mind. Go to the next, see? So the baby monkey has to do everything, and the baby kitten has to do nothing. So some people think, oh, by our sadhana, we do everything to attain God. And some people think, we cannot do anything. We can only say, oh, when will God be merciful to me? But the real answer is combination of both ideas. So that is given by the example. If a man has fallen into a well, and someone will climb the rope, and throw the rope, say, oh, cast this rope, I'll pull you out. If the man doesn't hold the rope, he cannot be pulled out. But if he holds the rope very tightly, and the other person does not pull, then also he will not come out. So the holding on to the rope means our sadhana, our practices, to follow the order of Guru and Vaishnava. But it is not enough. When we are following them, then only by their mercy can they pull us out. So we try to do our sadhana, and Srila Gurudev, by his mercy, he pulls us out of the well of this material world to send us back home to Goloka Vrindavan.
In this Bhagavad Katha, there are so many hidden things, or Goswami has revealed this to whole world. Mother Yashoda, why this is told in Srimad Bhagavat Vyasadeva has told? Hearing these sweet pastimes, a greed may come to serve Krishna like Mother Yashoda. This Harikatha Garbha, so sweet and powerful, very sweet for Karna Rasayan, and if meaning is known, then heart Rasayan. So, a Greek must come. After that, the sweet pastimes of Krishna with gopis will come. Rasleela will come, Gopi Geet will come, Bhramar Geet will come, Uddhava Sandesh will come, so many things will come. Then hearing all these things, A greed must come. This is the speciality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami followers. If they will hear these katha, powerful katha, they will remember these things. And Krishna will be controlled by these. That is why it has been written in Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came mercifully, Karunaya Vatirnaha Kalau, in this Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came mercifully to distribute what? Unnato Ujjvala Rasam Sri Bhakti Sriyam. Sri Bhakti. Unnato Ujjvala Parkiya Bhav. The mode of gopis, especially Srimati Radhika, Madanakya Bhav up to. We cannot obtain Madanakya Bhav. But something like Manjari, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercifully distributed in this world, new thing. Before that, Ramanuj, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbaditya, Jayadev Goswami, and so many came in this world. But they have not distributed this prema. Inspired, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired in the heart of Rupa Goswami, and then he tried and Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Thapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadam Mahiyam Dadapi Sapadantikam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established in his books in Bhakti Rasami Sindhu Ujjval Nandani. He has made the paribhasik Definitions. Like in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chansa Kala Punsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In this way, Rupa Goswami, what is Shraddha? What is Nishtha? What is Rati? What is Asakti? What is a rati? What is prem? What is sneh, man, pranay, rag, anurag, bhav, maham? He has made all definition. So whole world, all the sampradaya, even Mayabadi also, they quote Rupa Goswami. Otherwise, they can establish their modes. We are very lucky to come in his line. Try to have that mood what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. That is why in two slokas everything has been told. First, tattva, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur Amnaya Praha Tattvam Harimiha Paramam Sarv Shaktim Rasabdhim Tadbhinan Shasya Jivan Prakriti Kavalitan Tadbhimukshal Bhavan Bheda Bhed Sakalam Api Hare Sadhanam Sutta Bhaktim Sadhan Tatpriti Meve Ittipadasi Kuran. Oh, you should explain this sloka.
So the Gurudev is citing the shloka from which is written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Dasmul Tattva. Dasmul means the 10 essential truths or principles. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entire philosophy that he presented to the world is unique in this regard, and the acharyas have seen that these 10
principles are the main presentation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. So first of all, Anaya Praha Tattvam Harim Iha Pagalam Sarva Shakim Rasabdhim. First he begins with Anaya. Anaya is referring to the proof or the praman by which the other nine truths will be proven and established. Amnaya, it means the Vedic truths which have come from the Vedas and Upanishads, Puranas, etc., received through the sampradaya of the Guru Parampara, the cyclic succession, and approved by them. Which means that not necessarily all of the statements of the Vedas are accepted in this context of Amnaya. Because in some of the Vedic literatures, they are written for those who are even in the Tamagun, and some for Rajagun, like this. Some of the Vedic literatures are encouraging persons to worship Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or different demigods. But only the teachings of the Vedas, which are proving these nine different essential principles, that is called Amnaya. So, what are those principles? Anaya Praha Tattvam Harim Iha Paramam Sarva Shaktim Rasabdhim. That Sri Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Hari, Krishna. And he is the Paramam. He is the Supreme Truth, Tattva Paramam. And Sarva Shaktim. He is the source of all potencies, everything that exists. All energies, all shaktis, they are emanations from him. Rasabhim, he himself is the unlimited, infinite ocean of transcendental rasa, rasa of thee. So the, just as in the Vedas it is stated, akim rasamrita murti, that absolute truth, Sri Krishna, is the very embodiment, personification of all rasa. So then, tat vinasham srijiva prakriti kavalitam tat vimuktam shabhavat. Then it explains that the jiva souls who are within this world are called vibhinamsha jivas. They are separated, parts and parcels of Krishna. That Supreme Absolute Truth, Hari, expands himself in unlimited incarnations and expansions, which are all called svamsha. They are non-different than his own self. They are one supreme tattva. Just like the other day, we were discussing this point about Krishna being Advai Gyan Paratattva, the supreme, one, undivided, supreme absolute truth, and everything that exists ultimately is himself. But in the context of understanding the jiva souls, they are called Vibhinamsha jivas. They are separated parts and parcels, and they have some difference with Krishna. In quality, they are very minute, whereas Krishna is infinite. In quantity, they are minute. Krishna is infinite in quantity. But in quality, they are the same as Krishna. So, prakriti kavalitam, tatvinamsham shajivam prakriti kavalitam tadvimuktam shabhava. And in this category of jivas, there are two types. Some of them are covered by prakriti, that means maya shakti, this material energy. All the jiva souls within the material worlds, they are all covered by this material energy in the form of the gross material body, which we possess, and the subtle material body of mind, intelligence, and false ego, ahankar. So these conditioned souls, they are constitutionally the same as the eternally liberated souls, but because they are emanating from the tatastha position, the marginal position between the spiritual world and the material world, they can go either direction. So, in the two categories of jivas, some are covered by prakriti, and some tadvimuktam shabhava, some are eternally liberated. They are never touched by this external potency. Then, Veda Veda Prakasham Sakalamapi
Sadhanam
Sadhanam Shubhadaktiyam. Veda Veda Prakasham. This is the
very unique presentation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, which takes into consideration all of the previous commentaries of all the four Vaishnava Acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbaditya. These four Acharyas gave their commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. And there they discussed this question about the difference and the non-difference of ourselves, the living entities, within our relationship with the Supreme Absolute Being. So, but they had some different perspectives from which they were viewing. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the perfect understanding of Vedanta philosophy in the form of Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva. This means that the Absolute Truth is actually simultaneously different and also non-different from his emanations. And this very fact, being simultaneously different and non-different, is not actually possible to understand with the material mind. Therefore, it is called achintya, inconceivable. So, the Absolute Truth is eternally different than his emanations, his Shakti, because he himself, he never changes. He is constantly the same, the Absolute Truth. But his Shakti, this transforms into so many other varieties of forms and shapes. So, Krishna and his Shakti, 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 Mator, Aveda. Ultimately, there is no difference between Krishna and his Shakti. Just like the sun is not different than the sun rays. The sun rays have heat and light, and the sun also has heat and light. And there is no meaning to the existence of the sun without the sun rays, and vice versa also. They exist simultaneously. But at the same time, there is difference, because the sun glow is unlimitedly powerful and very full of fiery burning power. If you have the sun glow near to our planet, everything will be burnt. But through the sun rays, very nice heating can come from that. So there is a difference in quantity of potency. So like this, Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva is the essential understanding that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave in this world to understand the whole truth of the Vedic philosophy and absolute truth. So, Veda Veda Prakasham Sakalam Api Sadhanam Shuddha Bhaktim. How to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna? How to come to establish one's relationship with Him, and how to attain one's eternal position as a servant of His, which is actually the constitutional position of every jiva soul, that jivar sarupoi krishner nityadas. They are all eternal servants of Krishna. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in his philosophy that the process, the sadhanam, the method by which the jiva soul can attain this position is called shuddha bhakti, pure devotion, pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This week we had so many discussions about this subject, and just now also, Srila Gurudev, Prayojana Prabhu, explained this verse, Anya Vilashita Shunyam, and how this understanding, what is the definition of pure bhakti? So, without understanding this, what is pure bhakti, someone may attempt to approach the Absolute Truth, but they'll be unsuccessful. Because if they mix any other motivations into their attempt to approach the Supreme Truth, jnana, karma, if their bhakti is covered by any of those, they will not be successful. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sadhanam shuddha bhaktim, that the process is to perform pure bhakti, uttam bhakti, unalloyed bhakti. And then,
Tat-priti.
So, the final principle in this Dasmul Tattva is called Sadhya. Sadhya is that goal through which
through the sadhana that you're performing, you are aiming for. Your aim and object of your practice, it is called sadhya. So what is sadhya? Sadhya is priti. This Sanskrit word priti means pure love, or in other words, praying, Krishna praying. So priti is actually the ultimate goal of every jiva soul's existence and life. And no jiva soul can ultimately live without this even for a moment. Therefore, even within this world, everyone is searching for love, searching for affection, trying to establish so many relationships. But ultimately, the constitutional nature of the soul is to attain pure, divine Krishna prema, love, priti, and affection for the Absolute Truth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came exclusively to declare this fact to the whole human society that ordinarily, there are four goals given in the Vedas: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That means dharma, religiosity; artha, economic development; kama, sense gratification; and moksha, ultimately attaining liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that there is a fifth goal for all human beings, and what is that? Prema Pumarga Maham. This is the great ultimate goal of all human society. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and demonstrated this. He is praying Purushottam. Who is he? He is Sri Sri Radha Krishna combined in one form. And he is actually Nandananda Krishna, completely overwhelmed by the mood and the bhav and kanti of Srimati Radharani, who, as Srila Gurudev just told, is the Unnata Uchvala Rasa. She is the queen of Vrindavan, who serves Krishna in the highest way in Parakya Bhav. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into this world to give this highest form of Krishna prema, but it cannot be directly given. But those moods and that Mahabhav prema and Madanakya Mahabhav, which is experienced by Srimati Radharani, the jiva souls do not have the eligibility for this prema because of their small constitutional nature. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, as Srila Gurudev so wonderfully described, to give this very special variety of this Krishna prema as well, Bhakti Shriyam.
The second stoki, Aradhyo Bhagavan Prajeshatanayastadham Vrindavan. रम्या काचित् उपासना बधु बधु वर्गे न जा कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवत प्रमाण अमलम् प्रेमा कुमर्थो महान् श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभुर मतमिदम् तत्रादरो नह परः नह परः चैतन्य महाप्रभु चली हु इज टेलिंग चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. First was by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, by Tattva he told. And now he is getting through Rasa, Ras Tattva. Aradhyo Bhagavan Braje Satanayaha. Our Aradhade, worshipable, most worshipable, is Krishna? No. Prajendranandan Krishna, Jasodanandan Krishna, Radhika Raman, Rashpihari Krishna, Radha Kanta. So he is Bhagavan, but he has come as a son of Nanda Baba Jasoda Maiya. He is most beloved of gopis, especially of Srimati Radhika. As Krishna is worshipable, Vrindavan Dham is also, because without Vrindavan, Krishna cannot play anywhere himself. He can play in other forms, but Nandan, with gopis, only Vrindavan Dham. What is Vrindavan? Krishna has become Dham, Vrindavan Dham. Especially, Baladev Prabhu is Dham. So, Krishna is Aradhya, who is playing always in Vrindavan with Brijvasi, especially with gopis. Ramya kachit upasana bajubadu pargaina jakalpita. How gopis have worshipped and pleased Krishna. This is the highest aradhana upasana. Anything is not equal to this aradhana. Even Uddhav, like bhakta of Krishna, he has prayed gopis every fair. Even the ladies of
Jogga Putni,
no, even the Mathura, in the wrestling
arena of
Kansa, when they saw fighting so much daitya,
mountain like Chanurmushti,
and then they began to tell, we should not stay here. Those who are dharmatma, religious person, they should give up this place. And then they are telling how Vrindavan is glorious because of gopis. Rudha bhava, they have a rudha bhava. Rudha bhava means sneha, man, pranay, rag, anurag, vidha. Anywhere you cannot see without gopis. So, the upasana, the aradhana of gopi, that they can take the heart of Krishna and control by their love and affection. Krishna cannot repay them, never. He is telling, what?
Na
pare ham nirvadya sanyujan,
so sadhu kritta vibhudhāyu sāpivo,
mā bhajana durjana griha sinkhala sambhrishya tadva pratyāti sadhuna. O gopis, my most beloved, I cannot repay in life of Brahma or more than that. Never. You should please mercifully to me. I cannot repay. How we can repay? If Krishna will tell them, oh, you should have any broom? Broom?
Boon.
Benediction. What the gopi will ma? Ask, oh, we can, any service you should give. Not for their pleasure. Oh, only to please Krishna. Then Krishna will be. Gopis will tell, as we have left our whole family, our husband, son, and everything, only for you. Can you give up everything, your mother, father, and all devotees for us? Krishna cannot do. He cannot do. He cannot give up any bhakta. So he went also to Mathura, here and there. Where they will call, he must go. Je jathan mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. He is bound to do. So he, Krishna, cannot do. So aradhana's gopi is supermost. And prem to Krishna is most superior. We don't want to see only Krishna. Kansa, Jarasandha and so many saw Krishna. Duryodhana saw. What became? Nothing. If there is no prem, so our prayojan is prem. Not Krishna. So you should know all these things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that Pramana is Srimad Bhagavatam. Among all Shruti, Ved, Upanishad, Puran, Mahabharata, Ramayana, everywhere. The essence of all Shruti, all Puran, Brahma Sutra, everything is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Amalam. This is Amal. Amal means?
Spotless.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the chief teaching. And in the last I want to tell you the sum and substance of all the teachings that Rupa Goswami has written. జనానుగామి కాలం నయేతి ఖిలాం ఇత్యుపదేశ సారం. రిమెంబర్ దిస్ థింగ్. తన్నామ రూప చరితాది. The Krishna name of Braja is according to his past sweet pastimes. Damodar. Yashoda Damodar or Radha Damodar. Yashoda mother binded him. And gopis binded Krishna with the veil of Radhika. In Gathauli, there is a place in Braja. Gathauli mani?
No.
That Krishna cannot go here and there. He will always be with you. So he is Radha Damodar. Namami Ishwaram is for Yashoda Damodar. And in the end shlok, what here? Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyaye Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Duttam. So this is our goal. So he is telling that you should chant these names, Damodar, Ras Bihari, when he is doing Ras, and so many things, all names due to his sweet pastimes. All these names and
Roop.
Huh?
And his Roop, Roop, beauty.
Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, all. In mind, in heart, by tongue, you should chant all these names. Sing all these names. And in the heart, you should remember these sweet pastimes of Krishna. Tan Naam, Roop, Charitadi, Sukrtananu. Hearing from any bona fide guru, are Vaishnavas. In their guidance, those who are Rasik, Tattva, knowing all kinds of Tattva, being especially in Vrindavan. If you cannot be in Vrindavan,
by body,
by mind, you can be there. But better, one day you will have to go to Vrindavan.
For your perfection.
Huh? So you will have to go to Vrindavan. But if you cannot go, by mind you should be always in Vrindavan. Oh, meditate. Vrinda is very beautiful. Yamuna is flowing there. Both sides, Veli, Chameli, Yui, Vrinda Devi, flowers. Bees are humming. Cuckoos are singing.
Peacocks are dancing.
Peacocks are dancing. Krishna is playing there. Without Vrindavan he cannot. So, always remember these things. Tannam rupa charitadi sukrittananu kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishthan braje braj mein rahate huye being in Vrindavan tishthan braje tadanuragi. You should be in under the guidance of any Rasik and Tattva Vaishnava. Don't live free. You must be under the guidance of Tattva and Rasik. And if you are doing like so, very soon Krishna Prem, Gopi Prem, Braj Prem will come. This is the last
essence
of all the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaur Premanandi. Krishna Das, any kirtan. And then.
Thanks.
Name also.
Krishna Gopal Hari.
You will switch over to me. Have you met with Chaitanya?
Govinda Nirandarishan.
No.
I asked her to come. I will ask her again.
Why not come?
I will ask her to come.
Oh, she is sitting there.
I will ask her to come. Is your house after the problem? She can go to your house yourself.
There,
after she can come.
After this, we now have the
Thank you.